When a preacher sits down to prepare his or her sermon, there are a lot of decisions to make, options to wade through. For those preachers who follow a common lectionary, like those of us in the Episcopal Church and other denominations, these preachers begin prayerfully reading over the assigned scriptures for that Sunday, listening to God's nudges until they are ultimately led to decide whether to preach on the Old Testament lesson, the Psalm, the New Testament reading, the Gospel, or maybe a combination of any of these texts. Other preachers may be led to preach on current events, those things in our world that distract or capture our attention. This was impressed upon me a few weeks before I left Houston for seminary 6 years ago. A friend who sat a few rows in front of me for years at St. John the Divine spun around to face me during the passing of the peace and gave me a lecture about the need to address major world events currently taking place when I would preach in the future. Seems there had been a major tragedy that had happened overnight across the globe, and she thought that it should have been addressed from the pulpit that morning with comforting words for those in the pews. Another option facing the preacher is related to the church's calendar. In Advent, the preacher can focus on preparation, not for the holidays ahead, but for the Christ event that can be reenacted in our own hearts every day. In Epiphany, the preacher can highlight how God is still to this day being made manifest in our lives and in the world, just as God did 2,000 years ago in a backwater country in Palestine. And so on throughout the seasons of the church's calendar, just like today, Trinity Sunday. It is a huge joke in seminaries that most preachers like to take vacation on Trinity Sunday, just to avoid having to explain the Trinity and avoid wandering into heresy and attempting to do so. Well, I think the joke is on me, because in the three Trinity Sundays since I've been ordained, this is the second time I've been given the opportunity to preach on Trinity Sunday. The doctrine of the Trinity is a church doctrine that came out of the church's violent battles, yes, violent battles, over the nature of God during the 4th and 5th centuries. Now, for some reason, the disciples of Jesus and the next generation or so didn't need to have this threefold nature of God we now call the Trinity explained for them. Perhaps they were just simple folk who trusted the words of Jesus when he said things like, "The Father and I are one," or "The Father is in me and I am in the Father," or when Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." For these early followers, no explanation was needed, I guess, because they personally saw Jesus or those who knew Jesus live this threefold understanding of God. But as the church grew beyond Palestine and into the urban and secular areas of the greater Roman Empire, those attracted to the gospel of Jesus were more educated and sophisticated than the simple folk who first followed Jesus. A few centuries after Jesus' death and resurrection, Christian theologians arose from these educated classes. They parlayed their training in Greek philosophy and rhetoric to defend the church from heresies that were beginning to arise as other sophisticated minds began to promote questionable beliefs in trying to understand what they had inherited from earlier Christian generations, things like this mixture of the humanity and divinity in Jesus Christ, as well as a monotheistic vision in a threefold God. In these warring centuries, wording from the brilliant Cappadocian fathers, among others, aided in the coalescence of thought and the development of the doctrine of the Trinity. Then, no sooner than the job was done, it seems like the church just shelved that Trinitarian doctrine for centuries where it grew dusty and stale as time went by. And the archaic language associated with this doctrine, words like ousia, hypostasis, and perichoresis, grew to be indecipherable to only but a few in the church. Now, our denomination, among a few others, chooses one Sunday each year to take this old doctrine off the shelf, blow off the dust, and try to find understandable language. Understandable language for the ineffable. For even the most brilliant Christian minds acknowledge that the Trinity is mystery. End of story. End of sermon, you might say, but I say not quite. I think the church has rocked along for too long with this cop-out. Yes, the Trinity is a mystery, but if the church's doctrines don't provide insight for us in our lives today, then what good are they other than being interesting historical artifacts once necessary to help the church survive when it was imploding? I think avoiding the doctrine of the Trinity over the passage of a millennia or more is why there seems to be a Trinitarian renaissance going on these days. Perhaps God is saying, enough is enough. With books being published by both scholars and other spiritual writers, conferences being held, science being expanded, I think God is spurring Christians and others to take a closer look at the Trinity, aided by the findings of astronomers, cosmologists, and quantum physicists. And what they are all speaking and writing about is an imprint on the universe and a doctrine that supplies meaning for us and for our lives. What we in the church haven't really fundamentally grasped in a millennia and more is that when looking through the prism of the Trinity, God is community. God is one, yet is manifested in distinct, self-giving realities. Each person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, are equal in their roles, significant, and are equal in their reciprocity. Each of them gives love, and each of them receives love from the other, sharing not only love, but power and authority. It is love and self-giving energy that holds the three together in one, a unity of diversity. This Trinitarian footprint is seen in the building blocks of the universe, subatomic particles. All of matter is made up of these intra-attraction of subatomic particles called protons, neutrons, and electrons, and particles even smaller than these. What is the source of this electromagnetic force that attracts and keeps these particles together? Could it be the same Trinitarian energy? Contemporary theologian Miroslav Volf writes that because the Christian God is not a lonely God, but rather a communion of three persons, faith leads human beings into the divine communion. We are invited into this communion, into this dance with the divine three. This calls us into connection rather than disconnection, into deeper and loving community rather than individualism or isolation. This understanding of the Trinity can radically transform the way we live and the way we experience Christian community, and the way in which we relate and react to the world around us. With the drumbeat of terror sounding in places like Manchester and London and on our own shores, where does fear and violence fit in this Trinitarian flow of love and self-giving that we swim within as Christians? As more and more of us begin to question and grow to lose confidence in our public institutions, where does anger and intolerance fit as we participate within this unity and difference that is God? And as we here at St. Paul's begin to move beyond our past and into the future with new leadership, Where does an anxiousness about the future or a myopic view of this is how we do church fit within our participation in this loving and self-giving God? None of this fits. Not fear, not retributive violence, not anger, intolerance, anxiousness. None. Remember from our gospel today that Jesus said he will be with us to the end of time. He draws us in so that we are already participating in this Trinitarian flow of self-giving love when we say yes to the invitation to share in this personal life of God. We just need to recognize this reality, this invitation to community, and live it. Simple, right? I struggle with all of these non-Trinitarian behaviors I just outlined on a daily basis. But I keep reminding myself at the start of a new day that God is community. God is community. And I am being invited this day into that community of loving self-offering. This day and every day. And so are you.